Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
5 minutes away, Dibs gives you the double-barreled picks. Monday Night Madness, here we go. But right now, back out to the phones, the coach in Los Altos. Hi, coach, what you doing?
Hey, gentlemen. Well, I'm driving between meetings, and I'm listening to you all. And, you know, I've been sort of listening off and on today. And so, first of all, it's a super sad day because, I mean, when you lose Fred Warner, I think you could argue that he or Kittle are the heart of the team, maybe 1D, 1O. And his going down, I think, just hurt us all. Not just the gruesomeness of the injury, but just the heart of a lion just got taken out of us. So when you ask, you know, how are we still 4-2? We're 4-2, but we were barely 4-2, right? We won four games,
yep.
8 points or something. But we are still 4-2. So what I wanted to get your guys' take on, and happy to take it, you know, off the air, is, you know, I think you accurately said we don't really know what's going on with BA, but he is a bit of a diva, and he's done this before, and the stopping the following the team, and blah, blah, blah. I'm wondering, do we strike a deal with Miami and say, and get, you know, because they lost
Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, Tyreek Hill. And maybe give them Ayuk for Chubb and maybe even some draft consideration. So you're thinking about now and later. The other team that I was thinking needs receivers, and you know, what about New Orleans where they would take a BA and we get Granderson, and again maybe, you know, if you want Granderson and Cam Jordan, but certainly, you know, Granderson and maybe a draft pick. I'm just trying to get creative on.
Totally.
We got a crowded receiver room, and we're not going to do anything. And I'm a season ticket holder, and I'll tell you, it's frustrating when I hear people think, "Oh yeah, let's cash it in," when we're 4-2, 3-0 in the division. Yeah, we've lost folks, but dang, we still got a solid team.
Oop. I think we lost Coach there for a second.
Yeah,
Here's what I would say.
I'm with you, Coach, on that.
These are fun ideas. Here would be my hesitation. I don't know this. I don't want to speak for other teams. I really don't think those bad teams, the Dolphins, the Saints, the Jets of the world, I don't think they're going to be giving up the players that they want to give away right now for the likes of Brandon Ayuk. What those teams are not, they're not going to be thinking, hey, let's get some high-priced veterans in here. That's not usually how it goes. If Bradley Chubb or Jalen Phillips from the Dolphins is on the move, the Dolphins are going to want draft capital, and draft capital only. They're not going to want to fill up their cap with Brandon Ayuk's salary, especially when no one's even seen Brandon play.
Yeah.
We don't even know what he looks like.
He's untradeable, and if you want to talk about getting out from underneath Brandon Ayuk, it's maybe at the end of this year, but I was looking at some of his numbers and the cap hit, the dead cap. Even if you did a post-June 1st release at the end of this year, so 2026, you're looking at a dead cap hit of $55
million. Oh.
Is
that all?
Over 2 years. So
yeah.
You can spread it out a little bit. And even if you want to trade him after that same deadline, it's about $30 million that you still have to eat. So
trade him!
Yeah,
no, it's
the bed's been made with Brandon Ayuk, and
totally.
You have to lie in it. And so however this wants to go and however you want to do it, and if you want to slow play him and not play him the entire year, I'm sure he won't be thrilled about it. But, you know, you come back next year, and then that's when you could maybe think about moving off
him. Well, we'll see where we're at, because each week as we're learning, so much new information comes in. Who's available, all that. To me, this puts a pause on all trade deadline activity. I want to see this team actually beat another NFL team without Fred Warner. I want to see the defense actually get off of the field. And this is the perfect week to do it. They've got a young quarterback who's probably only, what's Penix got, 10, 12 starts in his career, maybe? You got a young quarterback coming in for Sunday Night Football in your home environment. They're not a great team. Let's see you beat them. Let's see you do this. And if you can do that, now you're 5-2, and now I think you start thinking about what can we do to sort of help this squad without breaking the bank and without giving up early draft capital, because I just don't think you go all in on a year like this. This is not a roster that's built in this moment with all these injuries to do something special. You can still have a good year. You can achieve some things. I don't think you're thinking right now, at least, about going all the way. Unless, of course, you're thinking about going all the way to the end of the year with Dan Dibley, because he's 19-6. And tonight, he doesn't want to make you money just once. He wants to do it twice. Well, that's right. It's a double step Monday night, and one of the games is going to get started here in about 9 minutes. 9 minutes. Dibs is 19-6. This is not a record to be messed with. And here comes a team that many favor to win the whole thing. But what are they? They're coming off of a loss. And they'll also give us a look at the Niners' next opponent. They go down to the ATL, where they're going to have to be on the road and give points. You know what that means? We got them a home dog. They get in a home dog on a Monday night. That's the Atlanta Falcons. And it's the Bills -3.5 at Atlanta. Dibs.
Well, and the Falcons are one of those teams coming off a bye as well. So they're home coming off a bye, and they're one of them home dogs. And we talked about it last week, Mark. I had the numbers, and they're right in front of me. Since 2020, home dogs have a record of 253-249 against the spread, which is to say they do not have a great edge as a home dog. I do like the rest advantage that Atlanta has going up against Buffalo, but you also said it, the Buffalo Bills coming off a tough one, their first loss of the year, and a bit of an ugly one against New England. For me, this is my most confident pick of the week, in a week in which I am 10-3 against the spread.
Ooh.
Your boy's having a nice week, and I actually, I had it at a higher number, 4.5. It's now down to 3.5, and I'm liking it even more. I'm yiking it even more. I'm going to go ahead and take the Bills and lay the 3.5 on the road.
The longer we do this, the more you sound like a cat.
Meow.
But that's okay.
The hairball.
We need them home dogs.
Yeah.
But what we do not have tonight are two home dogs.
No.
Because just over an hour away, we go to the nation's capital, where once again, a couple of years ago, the number one overall pick in the draft will go against the number two overall pick in the draft. Kianess Masmacho, who got the right quarterback? Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Washington Commanders hosting the Chicago Bears. And the Commanders will lay 5.5. Dibs.
Yeah, and sometimes you don't want to follow the money so much. And the Bears, another team, I believe, coming off a bye, and they're going on the road. And the Commanders, with a physical win over the Chargers, I do think that Jaden Daniels, who returned last week, is getting healthier and looking better. And maybe it's just me being pie in the sky, having him on my fantasy team, getting absolutely cuffed around by Spadonuts in the morning. The Spadonuts has got me.
You got curb stomped.
Spadoni's got me. I need Jaden Daniels to put up a 50-piece.
No problem.
Yeah, I don't know if he will, but
maybe.
The fact that the money is coming in on Washington scares me a little bit, but the pick has been in for a long time, and I'm just going to stick with it because your boy's been hot. 5.5 is a lot. How many points is that? A lot. And I'm going to stay with it. We're going to take Washington and lay the 5.5.
Lucas always looks at me and he smiles because he wants to know if I'm going to start clapping like a dolphin.
It's been a while.
Yeah, or a seal, I guess. Dolphins don't really
clap. Well, and you and Grandy both, Lucas, were fading my Lions pick against the Chiefs, and you guys were right.
Get huge.
Don't steal my notes.
That's true. Dibs, you are coming off an L. There's no way around that.
And as that game started and unfolded, I was like, what were you thinking, Dibber?
No, don't do that.
No, That was one of the few times.
Ironman game for me.
That was one of the few times. Give me the guru sniff, too, while you're at it, Steiny.
I don't hear it. I've already told you that until your record gets at least, like, you'd have to go on a, you'd have to lose like 6 or 7 in a row. Out of respect, I'm not clapping my hands like a seal. But I don't hear either of these guys do it either. No, Lucas is not. You have to turn your mic on if you're going to make it work. Do you not like these picks?
I like the Bears, but I like the Bills pick.
Okay, that's funny. See, here's what I wrote down for picking the pick.
Oh, you like to pick the pick. You picked Atlanta.
Now again, these are not my picks. This is what I thought you would do.
Yeah.
I thought you would go Atlanta plus the 3.5, and I thought you would go Washington minus the 5.5. So I got one right, and I got one wrong.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I almost flipped on the Washington because 5.5, like a Chicago, you know, 27-22. I don't know. 5.5 is like, it's not a touchdown, but it's a lot more than a field goal.
It's a big number.
It is a big number. It's a big-ish number. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just think that Buffalo is in a get-right spot, and I'm not a believer of Atlanta and what they're doing.
Okay. I think that there are some out there who might tell you that the Bills are a little
overvalued, right now. Okay.
I believe that the 4 wins they have are against teams that have combined this year for 2 wins. Somebody check my math
on
that.
That Ravens one is Baltimore. That was a healthy Ravens team.
Facts are facts.
Baltimore.
Yes.
1 win. The Jets.
No wins.
The Finns.
1 win.
The Saints.
1 win. 1 win. Okay.
Yeah. And so then they lost to the Patriots.
3 wins.
Yeah.
3 wins.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
And the Patriots quietly better than we thought. Like,
I thought the Patriots were going to be good, and then they came out, lost the Raiders, and I'm like, oh, I was wrong. And now I'm like, oh, wait, no, maybe I was right.
Yep.
I think the Patriots are going to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're there over the Chiefs.
Exactly.
It was a setback for us last night.
It was, but they're still a third-place squad.
Yep.
Looking up at the others.
Yep.
Old chefs. All right.
Bills and the Commanders, cuckoosh.
The picks are in. Because it's the Bills. I almost called them the Bicks. The picks are in. Do what you will, America. 888-957-9570. Back to the calls here in a moment. This Sunday, the kickoff show, Loney 11 Giddings Live, Laughing Monk, Sunnyvale at 3 o'clock. They're going to have the early games. Oh, by the way, the late games too. And the beer garden will be rocking with a DJ, bartender serving Gold Bar whiskey specials. If you're going to the game, sign up for the free shuttle to the stadium now. First come, first serve, and spots going fast. Go to the Eventbrite page on our website, 957thegame.com. This is Willard and Dibs.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
They're kind of put off with all the talk about no rush touchdowns. They're ready to end that. Here goes McCaffrey. There it is. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Hey, it's Joe Shasky from The Morning Roast, and you're listening to Willard and Dibs. And if you want to see their beautiful faces, you can check them out on YouTube. Search 95.7 The Game right now.
We are pretty. That's true. So pretty.
Yeah.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands? River Islands in Lathrop. Speaking of guests, today that's you. John Feliciano tomorrow. And that ought to be good. Because I feel
Shut
like...
Up!
No, I feel like people have some offensive line questions. So we'll talk to John.
Yep.
Unless he's already on the Niners. It's always possible.
It is possible. And my big question for him is, do offensive linemen go into slumps? Like, we talk about shooters and, oh boy, you know, Buddy Hield or Moses Moody, man, they're in a slump. And Steph Curry never gets to that point, thank God. But like baseball players, he's 0 for his last 27.
Yeah.
He's in a slump. Do offensive linemen go in a slump? Because I'm watching Dominic Pooney and I'm seeing him after plays.
It's a great question.
Slam his hands on the ground.
Yeah, he's very frustrated.
Very frustrated. And he's frustrated where it's a live play situation and he whiffs and he's mad. And it's a 4th-and-1 where the last thing you can possibly do is the false start. And he's the little,
yeah, false start.
The little twitch. And afterward, again, he slams the ground with his hands. Like, is it mental? And I know it's injury and you talked about it. But if you're injured, it doesn't lead you to, like, false start. And the way he false started was just kind of a mental,
yeah,
like, he just lost his balance. Like, no, what's going
completely.
On?
Yeah, and although I don't want to assume that injury doesn't affect those things. Like, if you're compromised, you're compromised. And, no, it's not an excuse by any stretch. But I just think that, you know, you get into a bad headspace and this, that, the other happens. I don't know if he's hurt. He looks something way less than himself with regard to how he used to look. But, yeah, sophomore slump, injured, something. But he's not playing good football right now, and it is causing problems with the Niners' offense, and they have plenty. 888-957-9570. Let's keep going on the phones. And I do want to kind of circle back to the Fred Warner of it all. For me, I kind of watched that entire game through a haze. After that happened, it was harder for me to enjoy the good moments. It became easier to do the woe is me for the bad moments. And even when things were good, and there were moments where the Niners, right, they fought, they hung in the football game, they had a shot, but you're looking at it and I'm thinking to myself, even if they win this game, like if they ended up 5-1 out of this game, like my take today would have been, take the win. I'd rather be 4-2 and have Fred than 5-1 without Fred. So it became very difficult for me to focus the normal way with regard to a football game. The X's and O's, the emotional ups, highs, everything was sort of shaded by Fred Warner. And so we very much wonder what your emotional experience as a fan was yesterday, both during the game and then since then, and how it affects how you're looking at the season. For me, you can't get too far ahead of yourself, but it does sort of affect the trade deadline in this way. Before I get aggressive at the deadline, I need the Niners to prove to me that they can win a football game without Fred Warner. I'd like to see them do that this weekend first. And secondly, I'm going to move on from the idea of acquiring anybody who's a one-year rental, because that's sort of an all-in on this year type of a move. And that doesn't feel like a worthwhile reason to give up a draft pick right now. It just doesn't to me.
It does to me, especially when you look at the way this defense looks without not only Nick Bosa, but also Fred Warner now. And you look at that game and Fred goes out in the first quarter and you're down 7-3 and your secondary from that point forward was getting absolutely gashed. Yep. And, you know, part of that is pass rush. And a lot of it is, you know, Fred Warner's not back there to try to tell guys where to be and help them pre-snap to know what the coverage is. And the one touchdown right before halftime was a great example where you blitz Upton Stout off the right side, the defensive right, and you drop Huff down off the left, and he's covering the out of the backfield, and the linebacker on that side is getting the tight end. And then behind that, the receiver is running down the field, and nobody's even paying any attention.
Yeah.
And so those sorts of breaks I know are not going to be solved by a pass rush, but maybe if you have a pass rusher, you don't need to blitz in that fashion. And so I'm not at the point yet where I'm giving up on the one-year rental, because I do think that as you look at the NFC, it's pretty wide open. You're in a three-way tie in your own division. Tampa's 5-1, but Tampa tried to give you that game a couple of different times, and you just, you know, were unable to take advantage of it. I don't see any world beater in the NFC. Feels to me like you might be one player away from, you know, getting toward the top of the conference.
Yeah, that's an interesting take. I don't necessarily see it that way. I will give you the whole trickle-down effect, though. Like, the idea of coming down on these rookies in the defensive backfield because they're not covering well when the Niners literally do not rush the passer at all. Like, they just do not get home ever. They've had only, like, less than five QB hits since Nick Bosa went out. You're asking too much. You're asking too much of young secondary players to cover people against professional quarterbacks when there's just absolutely, you know, there's no pass rush. It's too difficult, and they're too young. So I agree that someone is needed. I would just focus on people who are going to help you, not just this year, but beyond. Let's go to B in San Jose. Hey, B, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Hey, Willard and Dibs. Guru, you're both doing a great job. I'm guessing you guys have already heard the Juwan Jennings soundbite about the five broken ribs, right?
Indeed. Yep. And scene. B, we can't hear you, man. Can you find a good spot and give us a call back? Would love to hear what he wants to say about the quote about the five broken ribs, which is right here.
Yeah, I got five broken ribs.
Is your plan to just do pain tolerance?
Oh, yeah, it's football. I love pain. I wouldn't be playing that sport if I didn't. You know, it's part of it, man. You got to enjoy every little thing that comes with it, and pain is one of those.
Okay. Can I ask a new question about
sure.
this? When have you ever heard a player admit all of that stuff right in the middle of the season?
Not very often.
Well, why did he do it yesterday?
Because he was not getting the sort of attention from the play caller and the passer that he thought that he deserved. And, you know, he went out there and said it. And I'm sure you heard the Trent Williams comments after the game as well. He's like, yeah, a lot of guys are playing through a lot of things, not only an ankle and ribs, yeah. but our quarterback had to get shot up in order to go out there and play. So
yep.
there's that.
Yeah.
In other words, quit your crying.
Yeah, exactly. And again, like Mac Jones, as one of the first people I thought of, after the game, what did Mac have to say? All he said was, nothing serious. It's nothing serious.
Right.
Right. So to Mac Jones, what's, quote, nothing serious would have most of us regular people in the fetal position for a week. Like, are you kidding me? An oblique, a knee. He went through cramping last week on a Thursday. Like, if nothing else, the last month has given all of us an admiration for Mac Jones. I don't care what anybody thinks about him as a QB or the quarterback position in San Francisco. If you don't have an admiration for the way he's battled for the last month, you don't really have a football pulse. Yeah, Grandy, what's up?
I want to make sure we set the stage for that comment correctly, because he was first asked at the locker post-game how he feels physically. This was his first answer. Juwan, how do you feel physically?
You know, playing with injuries is just something that's a part of it, you know? Got high, low ankle sprains. You got shoulders, you know, 20%. You got ribs, five broken ribs. It is what it is. You keep playing, and nobody cares. You keep playing. That's what we do.
And then the follow-up was, wait, Juwan, you have five broken ribs?
Yeah, I got five broken ribs.
Is your plan to just pain tolerance?
Oh, yeah, it's football. I love pain. I wouldn't be playing that sport if I didn't. You know, it's part of it, man. You got to enjoy every little thing that comes with it, and pain is one of those.
Okay.
I don't know if that changes it to you, but I feel like the context, we're taking it a little bit out of context, because he first said, yeah, I'm beaten up. I'm playing through it. I love doing that. That's what football's about. And then he was asked a follow-up about specifically what he's going through.
Right. But, well, actually, I would say he was asked a follow-up about five broken ribs because he said he had five broken ribs. Like, I still feel like that is Juwan telling specific injuries into a microphone unprompted. Like, you can be asked about playing through pain, and you can be general about it. I think any player would be general about it. I have never... Not, I don't want to say never. It is very rare that you would hear an NFL player start to list the specifics of the injuries that he's dealing with and playing through. Because if for no other reason, it puts him in danger. It puts him in danger. You don't tell the other team, I've got five broken ribs. Now, if you're a Falcons defender, what are you doing next week when you're lined up against Juwan?
Yeah, they're coming for his five broken ribs.
Thank you. And his shoulder, is it 20%? I still, you know me, I love the percentages. How the hell, what does that mean? Is it 20%? 23?
Yeah.
28?
Like.
Was 33? How's that feel? I don't even know what this means when people ask for a percentage with regard to injuries. Is Brock at 80%? Would he play at 90%? What does that mean? Like, I don't know. Juwan's probably in pain. Mac Jones is in pain. But if you start telling everybody the specifics, there's a reason players don't do that. Because it does. It sounds like you're asking for sympathy. There's no way around that. There's no way. There's no way to make it sound a different way.
And that's where you have teammates talking about other people's injuries, and now you're creating a conversation that none of these players wants. And, you know, Trent Williams is out there talking about how everyone's playing through something, and yeah, the whole team is basically injured. And so Juwan's got multiple injuries, and yet if you're out there, and I do believe this, like if you're obviously he's very tough, if you have five broken ribs and you're still out there playing tackle football at the highest level, then you're either really, really tough or crazy or probably both. And so, yeah, if you're doing that, then you're out there doing it. And so you'll be judged based on the fact that you're playing pro football.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, I mean, I know, and you and I don't necessarily see this the exact same way, but this was something we got into last year. You feel like if somebody's in uniform and on the field, they're healthy.
Well, healthy is not, I mean, it's a relative term, but if you are in uniform and you're playing in the game, then you're well enough to play, and that's your choice, yep. And it's the team's choice. And yep. So if you're well enough to play, then you're going to be judged based on the fact that you're a pro football player playing pro football, and that's the way that goes. Now, if you're Ricky Pearsall, and maybe Juwan Jennings is hurt worse than Ricky Pearsall. I don't really know, but Ricky's not playing because Ricky doesn't feel like, the medical team doesn't feel like he can go out there and play, and Juwan, I don't know if the medical team's like, yeah, you know, if you get to six broken ribs, we're going to have to pull you out. But five, you know, five will let you play. And the shoulder, which is 20%,
wow.
And then the calf, and then you've got, you know, two different ankle sprains. At that point, like, what are you doing,
well,
Juwan?
I mean, as you know, not all injuries are built the same. And so my bet would be, you know, you could make the case maybe that Juwan is more hurt than Ricky. But what parts of your body are you willing to mess around with? Broken ribs are broken ribs. They hurt really bad, but they're broken ribs. So you wear some sort of a jacket underneath your uniform to kind of protect that. What's his other injury? A shoulder. Okay, it's the same type of thing. You know what I mean? Like, those are pain management things. If you've got a wide receiver, and your wide receiver one who's dealing with a knee that has instability, now that's not something you screw around with. Because if there's one wrong step there, now we'll see you next year.
Right.
Right? So that's probably, there's a little bit of that that's going on. But there's no question. You've talked to Lo Neal about this, I know, 100 times. But yes, guys are judging each other. Like, I'm out there doing this with this pain, and you're not out there doing that pain. I mean, you remember, was it Julian Edelman who famously, it was one of the tight ends. Somebody famously hucked Garoppolo under the bus for what he would not play through in New England, and Jacoby Brissett had to come back in, and I think he was even more hurt. But he had to go in and play, and Jimmy wouldn't play. He had put some things on tape, and I think he thought he had positioned himself for a gig elsewhere, and he was right.
I think it was Martellus Bennett.
Martellus Bennett, that's exactly right. Thank you, Grandy. That's exactly who it was. So, yeah, guys are keeping track of this stuff. There's a scoreboard in people's minds, no doubt.
And that's just, I mean, how it always is going to go, right? And everybody's going to judge everyone. And, you know, when you're in a locker room of tough guys and alpha males, then not everyone can play through everything like you're talking about. And, you know, for Juwan to go out there and put these things out there public, and then you have Trent Williams coming in and not speaking directly to Juwan, but talking in general about what everyone's going through. Yeah, it's brutal, especially when you're in the 49ers, because you're all hurt. You're the Niners. Everybody is hurt all the time. And your quarterback has got turf toe, which sounds really innocent and benign, but it's a thing. And the other quarterback is out there getting, you know, his oblique shot up and he's got a knee issue, and he was cramping, and he was dry heaving, and he's got multiple braces on, and yet he's going out there and playing. Not that you're looking at one quarterback versus the other one, because, you know, everybody out there who is playing in week six, you're all probably dinged up, but you don't usually talk about it. That's kind of the code.
B in San Jose is back. Hey, B, thank you for calling. What's up?
Hey, Willard and Dibs, thanks for taking my call again. So, yeah, you guys definitely have the info on the five broken ribs for Juwan Jennings. I'm here to ease the tension on Bay Area sports fans a little bit. You guys remember a couple of years back when you did the 12 Days of Christmas Bay Area Sports Edition?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I'm here to deliver some content. I think I have it all the way from five golden rings down to a partridge and pear tree, if you'll humor me.
All right.
You can take this content. It's my in-kind donation for you, okay?
You're a little early on the holidays, but we'll allow it, B, because I think everybody could use a cheer up.
It ain't ever too early, man. Target already got the trees hanging up there in the shelves.
I mean, usually you wait till after Halloween, but okay.
So you can go, five broken ribs, four Warrior starters over 35 years old, three reliable Giants starting pitchers, two J.K. contract years, and Steve Kerr on his last year.
Yeah! a little wordy.
A little.
But very, very timely.
So good.
Thoughtful and delivered with confidence and flair. I'm into it. I give it a solid B+, B.
Yeah.
I'll take it, man. Sounds like it's beyond passing. Y'all can take it and run with it. If you guys do another one, similar to five Ross tripling, take that and run with it. I don't mind.
Oh, man. Thanks,
that's
B.
A good three. That was year one. That was and Kyle Madsen.
I was going to say, I don't think you were here. I think you were already on vacation.
Yeah, and you and Kyle did it. It was great.
Five Ross tripling.
Ross tripling. Oh, my God.
We'd have to go back. I don't even remember what any of the other ones were.
Six sacks allowed. Five broken ribs. It's pretty good.
We did something about Farhan's, remember all of his little mini signings? Where grab somebody who was Farhan would grab somebody who
damn
was
it, Farhan.
Somebody else's eighth string catcher in AA, and he'd be like, this guy's going to be amazing. Wait till you see. Oh, I got to go find that because now I want to remember what all the other ones were.
It was pretty funny. I'll find it.
You should sing this year. We should do it again. And you should sing. That's what I think.
You think?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah.
Now, Ross Stripling announced his retirement from Major League Baseball recently.
We're going to have to come up with something else that rhymes with rings.
It was the 12 Days of Sportsmas, is what you guys did. I'll find it.
Stupid.
Yep.
Anyway, we could probably do an entire one about just about minor injuries. You know what I mean? Can we take a minute? It's just crazy, dude. It's crazy. How are we supposed to, you know what I mean? What are we supposed to do with this? What are we supposed to do with this?
Play football on Sunday.
I know, but get into the majesty of it all for a second. Don't be so functional. Don't be so anthill.
We're on to Cincinnati.
No, but I just I feel bad, obviously, for Fred first. I feel bad for the team that puts the blood, sweat, and tears into this, but we got to remember, you and I, we're a couple dudes, we've been around for a minute over here. A younger fan, these players, they're gladiators, they're magical. You get wide-eyed. You get to see these heroes on TV, or if you're lucky enough to get a ticket, you get to go see these players play. And the Niners, it's like I said, man, and actually maybe during the break here I will come up with a list. Name value 49ers, top 10, name value 49ers.
Back to August.
More than half of them are currently not playing. And
currently, sure.
Yeah. More than half of them have missed more than half of the year, if not most of the year. I mean, Bosa, more than half the year. Purdy, Kittle, more than half. Ayuk, all of it. Juwan, more than half. Pearsall, closing in on half. Fred, out for the year. Two of them aren't coming back. And so we can sit here all we want to and say, like, well, the other ones are coming back. Well, maybe. Maybe.
Well, they are.
Well,
like,
yeah. And then, and
they might get hurt again.
They may,
sure,
may get re-injured. Brock already came back. Now he's gone again. Like, you're going to tell me there's no way Kittle is going to have any problems coming off of this after we get told constantly that calves and hamstrings are the hardest things to figure out? And they're giving us all these signals of like, well, he might come back. Like, oh, crap. I don't want might. Like, I want these guys to be super, super solidly back on their feet before they play again.
Well, then they shouldn't play football. I mean,
no, I don't mean that.
You shouldn't play football if that's what we want.
No. You were on the same team with regard to Brock needs to be a hundo before he plays again.
And I still believe that.
Okay, that's all I'm saying.
I'm not worried about Brock versus Mac as far as Atlanta goes at all. And I'm gutted about Fred Warner because not only do I think that he is an awesome player, he's a super great guy, and he's a lot of fun to watch. As a Niner fan, even if your team is not great like last year, you can still watch Fred Warner and say, man, he's a fun guy to watch. It's a lot like watching Monte Ellis with the Warriors when they stunk. It's like, Monte's really good, or even Latrell Sprewell. I love Latrell, and they were terrible. Doesn't mean that Latrell wasn't good. So when Fred Warner's out there, it gives you something to watch. And yeah, right now you look at the defense, and you don't have Nick Bosa, who's also really fun to watch, and Fred Warner now is gone for the year. And so, yeah, that sucks. And, you know, weird things happen. I don't know if you saw this around the league yesterday. Charvarius Mooney Ward.
That was the weirdest.
Concussion in warm-ups.
In warm-ups. And Anthony Richardson.
Anthony Richardson. Broken orbital.
He went on IR. What the hell happened in Colts warm-ups yesterday?
I missed that video, but I've had that injury, and that one hurts. Orbital. Broken cheekbone. I told you the story a couple weeks ago.
What injury have you not had?
I'll tell you what. You make your list of 10 Niners. I'll make my list of 10 injuries I haven't had. And
there aren't 10. There's no way. Every single injury I bring up, you're like, I had that.
Yeah. And I don't want to say the one out loud because.
Have you snapped your ankle like Fred? You ever had it going the wrong way?
No.
All right, good.
I've sprained the ankle really badly,
well, sure,
but never the dislocation.
Okay.
Torn Achilles is a no. And I mean, that's one that I probably shouldn't put out there. Turf toe, sure. Groin, hammy. Yeah.
Brought to you by Fremont Bank here for good. You know what? Line it up. 888-957-9570. Let's take some calls on where this kind of sits. Like, does this injury emotionally remind you of any other Bay Area sports injuries in the past in terms of the devastation of it? We can get into all of that coming up next on Willard and Dibs.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As Jones throws it, what a throw, what a catch, he's taken off, it's Bourne, all the way down to the 33-yard line of Tampa Bay. There is a flag. It went for 56 yards. He had a 41-yarder in the first quarter. Let's see if it holds up.
Now, back to
Dillard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Tough day. Tough day. I think this injury, it sits up there for me with the Buster Posey's, Jerry Rice tore the ACL. I'm trying to think of others. I mean, obviously, I think in two different ways, watching Steph Curry head off of the floor. Last year, you never knew. You didn't know that he wasn't going to come back. But when he suffered the break, and then, you know, I mean, the Kevin Durant's and Klay Thompson's in the NBA Finals a handful of years ago. Like, I'm trying to think of other injuries that are that level of gut punch. I don't think the season is over. I don't think that. I do think the season has changed, at least temporarily. It has changed. Doesn't mean they can't have a successful season. Doesn't mean they can't make the playoffs. Doesn't mean that the trade deadline is off the table. But for me, I never really love using the word expectations at a high level in the first place, but I'll use a different word. My outlook. The outlook is just, it's different. There's a little bit more curiosity now as opposed to intensity. In terms of like, okay, what can you actually do? What can you actually do without the heartbeat of your defense? And quite frankly, when you look at the whole group now, they're so young. They're babies.
Oh, super young, yeah. You've got Bryce Huff, and that's about the end of the list of people who are like real veterans. Yamino Lenore is in year 4 or 5, and he's a veteran, especially relative to football, but he's not, I mean, that deep experience. Like Fred Warner, he is going to be, I think, a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a gold jacket guy, and Nick Bosa was on that track. I don't know if he ever will get there now based on his injury and another ACL tear, but I think it's right the way you describe it. And when you use the word heartbeat, I didn't watch the game and think anything too differently. I was obviously very sad and very gutted for Fred. And you could see it that the 49ers were kind of a little bit in a funk. How could you not be? And you had players even talk about how they had to look away. They couldn't even like continue on in a regular fashion because it was so gruesome, the injury itself, let alone to the person that it happened to. And you're right when you use the word heartbeat, because he's the heartbeat not only of the defense, but of the team as well. Nick Bosa might be a more important defensive player. It's debatable, but he's not the heartbeat. Nick is, you know, I'm just going to sack the quarterback and shrug. And Fred Warner's the guy who's calling the plays and, you know, telling everyone where to be. And he's out there with the green dot, and he is the heartbeat. And so that part of it is more devastating going forward. But in the moment, I still thought, all right, go out there and play well and win the game. And he gets hurt, and they immediately force Tampa into a punt. So the defense was, they obviously were a little bit more compromised, but it's not like they suddenly can't function.
In the moment, I don't.
In the moment, I thought that was bad. He's gone for the year. You can tell. And I can always tell when the other team is immediately waving to the trainer to come out.
Yeah.
Hurry, hurry, hurry.
Yeah.
When you see that, you know that it's bad. And I thought it might have been a knee. And then you see the replay and it's like, oh, no, that's a lower leg. That's an ankle. And so you realize, okay, Fred's gone and he's gone for probably the game, a month. Okay, it's going to be the season, but it's football. And for me, even if it's Fred Warner, you still look at the situation and you figure, all right, next man up is a cliche. You're not ever going to replace Fred Warner with anybody, but you realize that you still have to go out there and play 11 on 11. And the sad thing about that play is that play was 10 on 11.
Exactly.
And I don't think we've mentioned that yet.
No, we have not. Yeah, go ahead and tell everybody what you're talking about.
Well, when Fred Warner got hurt, they were playing 10 versus 11. And so Fred Warner runs up to make a play where normally Mykal Williams would have been playing right defensive end. And so Fred gets into a spot where Tristan Wirfs is able to come off and no one's in front of him. So he had a free release. And so now Fred has to take on Wirfs, and then a couple of Fred's teammates roll into Fred. I'm not blaming this on Shanahan or Saleh or certainly Mykal Williams. It just turns out to be a real curious kind of footnote to the tragic injury that you went 10 on 11 on that play.
Yeah, and it probably would not have worked out that way because the calculus would have been all changed.
Right.
The dynamics all changed.
Not have been up there at the point.
Yeah, correct.
You know, you would have had another huge body in front of him, and he would have been in a different spot.
I was just looking at the current 49ers too deep. I know that this will adjust. They will have other people who kind of come up. and there probably will be acquisitions of some sort just to, you know, fill up roster spots. But the current listed starting defense has one player over the age of 27.
Huh. And that's Bryce Huff?
No. Bryce Huff is 27.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Luke Gifford. Who's not going to be in the starting lineup for long, my prediction. But Luke Gifford is 30. Other than that, everybody on that defense, as far as a starting unit, is 27 and younger. And let me count up the rookies. Let's see. One, two, three. Okay, yeah. Three starters are rookies. Alfred Collins and C.J. West are also rookies and in the rotation. And then you've got another handful from Renardo Green, and et cetera, who are second-year players. Yeah, your elder statesmen are people like Jordan Elliott and Kalia Davis.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that's just, it's, I'm sorry. Like, that's not a group that, I mean, when you say they can function, sure, yeah, they can function. They're not going to play great. They're not going to be consistent. And I also look, you know, we go back to what we were thinking about at the beginning of the year with regard to who are the quarterbacks they play. And so maybe this is one thing that is, I guess, a little bit of the feather in their cap, if you will, which is to say that, you know, like Baker Mayfield's an experienced quarterback. He picks a situation like this apart. Will the other quarterbacks on the list, will they do the same? You have Stafford in 4 weeks, but next week you've got a second-year player in Michael Penix. The week after that, you go to Houston. Stroud's got a various amount of experience. He's got a terrible offensive line. That'll be an interesting matchup. Their offensive line against the Niner defensive line. I think everybody may just look at each other and figure out who's going to screw up worse. The Giants have a rookie. He'll be in his fourth or fifth start. Then there's Stafford. Then there's maybe Kyler Murray if he's healthy. Carolina with Bryce Young, who knows who the hell Cleveland's going to put out there, but very likely a rookie. Tennessee, a rookie. Then you got the whole Daniel Jones thing before you get Caleb Williams. And then Sam Darnold to finish. So I don't know if you want to look at that as some sort of a positive. Like, that is a piece of this puzzle. The schedule that we've talked so much about is still the schedule. And so maybe you don't need to be at your best in order to win some games and enough games to work your way into the playoffs. I'll buy all that. What will you do when you get there? Not optimistic, which is why I wouldn't buy big. I would not buy at the top floor of the department store this trade deadline, knowing what we know about what the Niners have as far as a roster.
But if you get into the dance, then if you have bought big on the top floor, maybe that one player can help you be good enough to win some of these games. And ultimately, it comes down to complementary football, and you've got a defensive coordinator who is really, really good at what he does. And so now you've got a young group, and you don't have Warner, and you don't have Bosa. So, all right, Robert Saleh, go out there and get these guys to be better. And I think he's done that in many, many ways. Like, Mykel Williams has looked really good so far as a rookie playing in his spot, and C.J. West has flashed, and Jordan Elliott has made big plays, and you have a couple of veterans around him. If you add another piece, and you know, maybe you go out there and find a linebacker, not at the top of the market, but somebody who can come in and be a solid guy in your scheme. I do think that the Robert Saleh factor should not be underplayed. A guy who's a very good coordinator and somebody who has, you know, made your defense already better than it probably looked on paper.
Yeah, no, I see all that, but I just, again, there's a breaking point in terms of what we can ask of people. You know, the whole like, okay, Rob, go make them better. I mean, like.
Go make them better. I mean, Shanahan's done that with the offense.
Sure.
No Kittle, no Ayuk. You ran down the long list of guys that he hasn't had. And
right.
The offense has been pretty good. Mac Jones is over 300 yards back-to-back games.
What does that mean? The quarterback's over 300 yards. That doesn't equate to points. That doesn't equate to wins. He had a ton of yards yesterday.
Well, he's 3-1, so that does equate to wins.
Well, but they're not winning games because the offense has, like, overwhelmed the opposition. When you win 16-15, that's not what happened out there.
That's my point, though, about like, complimentary football. Like,
right,
you can.
That's really. There's a breaking point.
I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're at the breaking
point. How many guys do we got to lose before you're at the breaking point?
Probably maybe five or six more.
Like, really?
What are we talking about here? Like, you're
talking about
an offense who's getting a Pro Bowler back.
Their best players are all out.
You're getting your Pro Bowl tight end back either this week or next week.
Okay.
And that would be, if he's out more than two more weeks, then we've been misled as to the severity of the injury.
Okay.
You're probably going to get your $53 million quarterback back this week or next week at the latest.
That's funny. I've been told for 3 weeks that that's not going to help the offense because...
Have I told you that?
No.
No, this is me telling you what I think.
Okay.
And what I think is, as your defense goes down based on lost people, your offense goes up based on found people, and it's complementary football. So yeah. If your offense can be better... And for me, the bigger problem with your offense is your offensive line.
Yes.
Your offensive line has struggled. So
how are you fixing that?
Well, hopefully you get somebody to get to Dominic Pooney and try to get him to restore his confidence. And then you're able to, I don't know, run the football. Your center's having a hard time in the middle. Your left guard is a rookie. And you hope that he gets better just through additional reps. But I don't know, Shanahan, you're a genius. Like, scheme it up. And,
see, there, that's where yesterday, that's the stuff that I just
yesterday,
I can't.
Honestly, the offense had very little trouble moving the ball. They had many big plays in the passing game, and they ran the ball enough to keep the team honest.
Yep.
And you probably didn't even commit to the run enough, but for me, the offense, their ability to move the ball and have explosive plays, that was not the problem yesterday.
I agree with that. Again, I'm not sitting here telling you it's over. I'm not sitting here telling you they shouldn't keep trying. I am sitting here telling you that this has changed my outlook on 49er football for right now. I don't know how it couldn't. I don't know how it couldn't. And sure, you can get, you can get George Kittle back, and that's great. Obviously, that will help. I think if that leads to a run game, yes, that will help. If you get Brock Purdy, especially his mobility back, yes, that will help. If you start getting Ricky Pearsall back, yes, that will help. But all of these players, they all need a ramp up. We all have no idea how they're going to look right away. We also have no idea that they're going to get it right as far as when they're bringing them back. And even if you do all of those things, I'm a big believer, and I know you are too, that, like, you can have all your fanciness all you want, but if your trench play is poor, you lose most football games. And I don't know what it is exactly that the 49ers are offering right now in their trenches. I just don't. It doesn't mean that they're not allowed to be good. Maybe they'll become good. Maybe there'll be some amazing, miraculous acquisition. But if you're gonna give me mid on offensive line play and you're going to give me no pass rush, I believe, with all pessimism aside, that this is going to catch up to him. It's going to catch up to him. You can't function this way, and you can't lose this many star players and not have it have an effect. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.